The Springboks sleepwalk their way to victory. Yes, a win is a win, but it was a very sloppy showing from the world champions against Italy in Pretoria. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll also rate the Springboks' performance out of 10 and reveal my man of the match at the end. To be sure, Dr. Russie Erasmus is not happy at all. Here's what Doc said immediately after the match. I guess it's a positive that we scored 6 tries, but we're frustrated. I didn't pick up in the week that this was the way we were going to perform, but it's all fixable, but it's definitely frustrating. Internally, we've announced that 13-14 players that will definitely get a run next week, and that we'd build the bench or starting lineup around those guys. We won't discard those guys, but some of them might move to the bench. Some of the real standout players who played today might start again. The makeup of the team may change to handle the physicality that Italy threw at us. You'd think a team that made 120 tackles in the first half would break in the second half. But it's a team that's fit and passionate, and we have to make sure that the team that we put out next week is not just a team that can go 50 or 60 minutes, it must be a team that can go 80 minutes. I was thinking about it before recording this episode. Is this the worst performance we've seen from the box in the Russie Erasmus era? You can probably find a worse effort in some of those early 2018 games, to be fair. But I've not seen us this lackluster since that second defeat to Australia in 2021. Remember, we lost the first one narrowly, and then the second one, they just blew us away. So how did it get to this point? Well, it actually started quite nicely. In the first 20 seconds, Alessandro Fusco had his box kick charged down by Irben Etzebeth. An exciting start, even if it didn't lead to anything. If I counted correctly, there were 4 scrums in the first 6 minutes, and we dominated them. So much so, it was almost embarrassing. That would continue throughout the match. And that's what is such a shame, because in the Six Nations, Italy actually had a good scrum. But this is what happens when you don't have your best team doing battle. The Italians are in South Africa without 9 of their regular first team players. Dino Lam, Federico Ruzza, Sebastian Negri, and captain Michele Lamaro should all have been in that pack, for example. Although, as you'll see later in this episode, the scrum was probably their only weak point in this test. In the 11th minute, we scored the first try of the match, and it was the captain, Jesse Krill. Now, we had been going through several phases and the Azzurri were defending well, but Morne van den Berg's pass to Damien Diolende resulted in a dummy pass and a little grubber that saw Krill chase past the defenders and dart down. Now, we were all over them in the scrums. It was absolute dominance. And in the 23rd minute, we helped ourselves to a pushover try from a 5-meter scrum. Jasper Visser had actually overstepped the ball at the back, but no problem, as Morne van den Berg dived over to register the 5 points.
A penalty advantage waiting. Van den Berg, keen to clear, if he must, but he ducked down.
Now, the Azzurri were down to 14 men at the 21-minute mark. 8th man, Lorenzo Canone, yellow-carded by referee Holly Davidson. How much advantage could we take of that? Not all that much, as the tourists began defending with even more determination and courage. Their counter-rucking in particular was something I found impressive. And it took 27 minutes, but the visitors were finally on the board thanks to Giacomo Dare's penalty as a result of an offside by Vincent Chituka. And then we had a beautiful Kurtley Arendse try in the 30th minute. From a line-out, there were 2 short passes that found Arendse, who sliced through the Italian defence like a hot knife through butter. Van den Berg scored his 2nd of the evening and our 4th 3.5 minutes before halftime. Another 5-meter scrum, which we dominated, saw Morne take the ball from the base and run before dummying to Cheslin Kolbe, fooling the Azzurri defence in the process and taking the resultant gap with pleasure.
He goes again!
28-3 then at halftime, largely going according to my expectations, to be perfectly honest. I thought we were ever so slightly sloppy in terms of the number of handling errors we committed in the first 40. Our scrum was so dominant you would have been forgiven for thinking we were playing a side ranked considerably lower than Italy. Maybe Hong Kong, who has just qualified for the Rugby World Cup, for example. Now, our defence was seldom tested, and in attack we were solid, although I did think that we were a little on the repetitive side. I didn't see bucket loads of innovation in attack. But then I also wonder if the Springboks are holding something back for the Rugby Championship, in particular, those two tests in New Zealand in September. Worth also noting how the Italians were doing really well in terms of closing us down and also doing a solid job in terms of disrupting us at the breakdown, which is probably the one weakness the Springboks have. And when I say weakness, I mean that as a relative term. But if we could be faster and cleaner at the rucks, then the Azzurri were not going to be able to live with us. Having said all of that, it's difficult to find fault with a team that is 28-3 up at the break. The only real question was, will we see more of this in the second 40? Can we turn it up a notch in that second period? Well, not really. We did score ourselves a lovely try early on, but it was disallowed for obstruction, which personally I disagreed with, but the officials are the officials and they make the decisions. So instead of that, the Azzurri were on the front foot, and a Malcolm Marx error resulted in Manuel Zuliani going over. Now, it's difficult to have a go at Malcolm. I mean, listen, I am a Malcolm Marxist myself, okay? But what actually happened was Marx attempted a steal. They were 2 or 3 meters out, and because it didn't come off, he had to backpedal, and that was what made him unable to do anything else. Basically, that meant that Zuliani had a free pick and go, and they had 5 points. And then in the 48th minute, the bomb squad appeared. Suddenly, we had a brand new tight five, but the impact was not immediate. If anything, the first 13 minutes of the second half had been something of a scrappy affair, actually. And it felt almost a bit like we knew we weren't going to lose, and they knew they weren't going to win. And there's another half an hour to go, so we have to just play out the remaining time here. No doubt, there was a lack of overall energy, especially on our part. Having said that, Faf de Klerk then sparked something. He was the man who got things going in our own half, and then a pair of flick passes from Argie Snyman and Vincent Chituka helped get us close. And then it was Vincent Koch, Mr. Incredible. He was the man to crash over.
Koch. Koch!
Would that be the catalyst for more tries? Well, not really. The Italians hit back almost immediately. Simone Gessi, the man to go over in what was really good play from the Azzurri, but Kurtley Aronser put in an all-time tackle to prevent the try. It was beautiful. Gessi's right foot went out before he was able to put the ball down. Brilliant stuff from Aronser. And speaking of brilliant, that's exactly what Italy were in the 63rd minute. They got themselves a 50-22, and from the resultant line-out, they mauled their way to the 5-meter line before Pablo Dimchev went over for their second try of the evening.
Now they splinter away again, and they're over the line. It's absolutely brilliant work from the Italians.
Unbelievable stuff from the Azzurri. Yes, question marks in the way we failed to defend it. What was that, a 20-25-meter maul drive? I'm not sure I can ever recall the Springboks having that happen to them. But I'm giving this one to the Italians because you cannot hold the attitude that every time they do a good thing, it's because we did a bad thing. That was outstanding on their part. And if it had been us, we would be cheering from the rooftops and letting everyone know what we just did. I'm thinking of that maul drive against Japan at the 2019 Rugby World Cup. Where, what was that? That was like a 35-meter maul drive. Unbelievable. It's a thing of beauty. And New Zealanders don't appreciate that stuff, as we know. Anyway, Italy went and scored again after that. Captain Nicolo Canone breaking free and evading the efforts of Kurt Liorente. Giacomo Barré converting, and it was 35-24 with 12 minutes to go. All of a sudden, if you are an Italian, you're thinking this might not actually be over yet. Well, thankfully, any thoughts of that nature were put to pasture with 7 minutes to go. Marco van Staden going over at his home ground. It was much better from the box. De Klerk in particular with good play, getting to the rucks quickly and distributing equally quickly. Real danger here! We totally went to sleep in that second half. In fact, it was so bad that we were outscored in the second 40. Yes, Italy won the second half 21-14. It was as if the match was over as a contest at halftime, and then it was a case of just going through the motions. I can guarantee you Dr. Rossi Erasmus is not going to tolerate that. We've already seen what he had to say post-match. Now, our line-out throwing wasn't all that clever either, and I've already mentioned that we were not up to standard at the breakdown. At halftime, I was thinking 7, maybe even 8 out of 10 for this performance, but by full-time, I had had a serious change of heart, a significant change of heart at that. And so the box get a 6 from me for this performance. And to be very honest, I'm holding myself back here from giving them a 5. But I think that the first half was good enough to not get 5, even though the second half was bad enough to maybe even get a 4. But I'm going to go with 6 out of 10 here. Right, so man of the match. Well, I think I'm going to go with Vincent Chituka. On debut, he had a solid game. He carried nicely, made his presence felt, and put in a few good tackles too. And he was also denied a try because of obstruction by Bongi Mbonambi, which I thought was a bit borderline, but look, the officials make their decisions. Now, just a quick word on Bongi. He has to start. In my view, he has to start. There is no doubt in my mind that Mbonambi is our starting hooker and Malcolm Marx is the bomb squad hooker. That combination is the one that works best. Malcolm is more devastating coming on in the second half after Bongi has worked hard to dominate the opposition and soften them up a bit. It just doesn't work as well the other way around. And I know people are talking about Bongi and saying he's not quite the player he was a few years ago, that he's lost form, etc., etc. But I think the one thing that Dr. Rossi Erasmus does brilliantly is when he selects a player, he backs that player, and that player has to actually play his way out of the side. That's how much Doc will back the player. And I think that that is what is happening now. Let's back Bongi. Put him in the starting 15, let him start, and then somewhere around 45, 50 minutes, Malcolm comes on and finishes the opposition off. That is the formula that has served us so well pretty much since 2018. And yes, I know that at some point Bongi is going to not be able to do the things that he used to do. He is a little bit on the older side now. And let's be honest, there is a chance that Bongi might not actually make it to Australia in 2027. But, as I say, Doc will give Bongi every opportunity to prove why he deserves to still be part of the Springbok setup. And, as I say, for me, what I would be looking to do at this stage is to start him, and you bring Malcolm on as part of the bomb squad later. And if by the end of the season it's evident that it's not working and that Bongi really isn't the player that he used to be, then you say, okay, let's move on. But what do you think? Do you think this was a sufficiently good performance from the Springboks for their first test of the season? Or do you believe it was not good enough and they simply have to do better next week in Gqeberha? Or Port Elizabeth, as it is still known on the N2? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I just want to quickly tell you about my Patreon page, and I want to encourage you to head on over there and sign up as one of my patrons. There are great benefits to be had. For example, you can win yourself Springbok test match tickets, you can win yourself Springbok merchandise, you can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online store, you can also stand a chance to win the new James Small biography that's coming out soon. In addition to that, you can get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player, and we can even even have quarterly Zoom calls where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, players, etc. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US dollars, not Zim dollars. And I'll be very, very grateful for your support because I would love to do this full time and I would love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under on a daily basis. But in order to make that happen, I'm going to need some support, and that's where you come in. If you're willing, I'll be very, very grateful. The link is in the description area below, and I'll speak to you next time.